Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today is August 26, 2017, and we're trying to stay dry. So far, so good. Harvey's causing a mess, I guess, in some other places, but around here, I guess we're still doing good. So stand by for any updates and break-ins of emergency weather, so on and so forth. But until that time, we've got a lot going on, and I start my morning every morning with a fresh cup of Joe from CEFCO Hilltop right here in Cameron. I'm drinking my morning Joe right now, and I was talking to Becky there. They got some great specials going on, one of which is all Hershey standard size bars, candy bars, are three for $3. If you've got a sweet tooth, you know that chocolate's expensive. So right now, they got a special. Hershey's standard size bars are three for $3. So go get your Joe, pack of smokes, newspaper, candy, whatever it is. Go to Hilltop, CEFCO, and Cameron. Tell the ladies I said hi. Tell them you heard it on the radio, and they'll take care of you. Today, we've got a lot going on. Let me tell you what's going on with our show highlights. Today, three true stories of self-defense from the current issue of the American Rifleman. Now, if you can guess which three stories I'll read before we get to that segment, which is going to be coming up pretty quick, pull out your NRA magazines and try to figure out which ones, which three I'm going to be reading. I'll give you a very nice poster promoting the Second Amendment. So call me at 254-697-6633. That's for this week, August 26th. And if you get the right three stories, we'll put your name on a poster. You can come here and pick it up. Now, during the License to Carry Attorney segment, sponsored by Coppolino Dodds Craig's Law Firm, we're going to have attorney Rick Dodd here, and he's probably going to go over a few different topics. The liabilities of not complying with affidavits, specifically the ones that you're signing when you get your license to carry, how the law looks at disabled persons when it comes to self-defense with a weapon, and once again, a child gaining access to a firearm, but in this case, for self-defense. We've gone over this a few times before, but it has become a topic of confusion for some reason, and I can understand why to some degree. So hopefully we'll clear this up today about gaining access to a firearm by a child for self-defense. Today's topic of interest, we'll go over upcoming events with Aaron's and how you can get involved with them. And also, I have a special guest from the past, and it's so relevant due to the hurricane and for today's things that are happening in this country. The one and only Paul Harvey. So good day on that one. And at 11, the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon, the calmer of calamity, the incubator of intellect, the host of hospitality, and all-around good guy, Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement. My product spotlight segment, sponsored by ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer, will be the SCY, S-C-C-Y, SCY 9mm semi-auto pistol, the CPX-2. This is a very affordable 9mm, nice quality handgun, good for home defense or personal carry, and I'm going to review that later in the product spotlight segment. My special guest today will be Denise Sims. Denise Sims, owner of D&L Unique Creations in Temple. Now, I've known Denise and her mom for years, and they do great work when it comes to embroidery and engraving. So listen up, because you might want to get that gun or knife engraved or that T-shirt embroidered as a gift. Like Ned Stark said, Christmas is coming. Oh, wait, it's something like that one. Winter's coming. That's what he said. But anyway, I can use it. Christmas is coming. So make sure you get your stuff embroidered. Now, we're going to go right into it because we're on the clock here. I'm going to go right into the three true stories. Remember, you can give me a call here at 254-697-6633. If you can give me a call and tell me which three stories I'm going to read, I'll get you a poster. Okay? First one does it right, gets it. But you better hurry because I'm about to read them. Story number one, and this comes from the September 2017 issue. In Tennessee, a law-abiding gun owner ended a reported criminal tear that two fugitives have been on since they escaped from prison work crew in Georgia several days earlier. Police officers credit the Shelbyville man not only for capturing the escapees, but also for his restraint during the encounter. Because the bad guy stopped posing a threat after the armed citizen brandished his loaded gun, he was judicious enough not to fire a shot. The Tennessee man heard the escaped convicts had been spotted in the area that state. In a preemptive move, he loaded his firearm so he'd be ready to defend his family as needed. When he saw two strangers climb over his fence and approached his home, he ushered his daughter to the car. And he was doing so with a gun in his hand. He noticed that the runners were taking off their shirts and waving them in a surrendering motion. The armed citizen then held the escapees at gunpoint until police arrived in droves shortly thereafter. Now, here's my expert commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't really have much to say on this one because I saw the video and the man was in total control of the two escaped criminals, and with seeing that and learning the backstory of the Tennessee homeowner, he did everything right. He was acknowledging acknowledging the threat. He was being aware of his surroundings. But unfortunately, he could not avoid it, so he did the next best thing. He took control of the situation. So bravo, bravo. Story number two. When a burglar made himself at home in someone else's residence, he found himself in a sticky situation. A New Mexico man who has a home security system linked to his phone saw a stranger break into his house. The video showed the intruder trying on clothes and watching television, among other things. The resident came home and enlisted the help of some neighbors who had two guns. The homeowner parked his car to block the automotive exit from his cul-de-sac, and his armed neighbors went to his house. They entered the house and announced they were armed. After telling the perpetrator to get on his knees, they bound his hands and feet with duct tape and waited for the police to arrive. Now, my commentary on this story. Ladies and gentlemen, I like this story too, and I'm one of those who likes to get involved too. But on this one, I'm hesitating to give it a bravo, bravo, for this reason. The amount of time it took for the homeowner to set things up, he could have easily waited for the police. No one was in danger of life or limb at the moment. And by waiting for the police, the homeowner, in my opinion, would have minimized even more the potential of a skirmish to escalate between the invader, homeowner, and his neighbors. I'm seriously borderline with this one because, like I said, I am a doer. If someone was in my house like that, I too would probably confront the scumbag. But because I have the ability right now to overanalyze it, I can see how the second option might have been even better. Story number three. Three Florida teens who thought it would be a good idea to ambush a food delivery driver learned a hard lesson. Police say the teens called in the order and gave an address of an abandoned house in Jacksonville. They entered the home to wait for the food. When the meal arrived, the hooligans answered the door and held the man at gunpoint and demanded his money. The delivery man instead kicked out one of the teens to cause enough of a distraction to draw his Glock. He fired several shots, hitting at least one of the miscreants. Two had been arrested and the other was being sought. Is the money really worth it? One witness asked the suspects rhetorically through the media. Y'all plan to kill someone over $200? Now, my excellent commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, I agree. The money ain't worth it. So that must mean that pizza parlor makes some damn good pizza. All right, I know. Enough with the jokes. Okay, I'm going to move on to my opinion piece. Once again, the number here is 254-697-6633. If you want to become part of the program, my opinion piece, like I give every week almost, this one is called Core Values versus Moral Ethics. Ladies and gentlemen, I, your host, have many, many flaws. So when it comes to morality and ethics, I'll keep my mouth shut. I'm not dealing with a speck in my eye, but rather the whole damn lumberyard. But I can talk about core values with you. Each of us have, or should have anyways, core values. What's our makeup? What motivates us? What makes us do the things we do? Well, for me, it's love of country. We have been tremendously blessed to be Americans. We have been tremendously blessed to have founding fathers who had the courage to break away from an oppressive rule. We have been tremendously blessed to have men and women who love this country too and were, and to this day, willing to wear a uniform and go to battle if necessary to protect our way of life. Now, in my humble opinion, it's our responsibility to give back. And I'm not talking about doing one thing and then it's over, the debt's paid, the obligation is removed. I'm talking a core value of service. To me, it's service to my country, my family, my fellow citizens. Being on the radio is a feeling of service to me. My goal is to give you, the listening audience, good information that may somehow, some way, make your life easier, whether it's with helpful information or comic relief. I didn't just talk about doing it. I did it. I did and do what it takes to get on the air and stay on the air. When I'm not on the air, I feel as though I'm bottled up with great information that will just be wasted, not put to use for the betterment of all. What's bottled up in you? All of us are blessed with talents given to us by the Almighty. He did not give us our talents to waste them, squander them, or ignore them. He gave them to us to use. For his good purpose, which I believe is for the betterment of all of us. So what's your talent? Have you put it to use? If so, I salute you. If not, I say, what are you waiting for? Apply your talent to a good cause. Just start doing it. It doesn't have to be perfect. Start now. Grow where you're planted. Teach others to do the same. Don't just sit there and say, I shoulda, woulda, coulda. You'll hate yourself for it. As my opening music to the show says, time is running out. At the end of your life, don't look back and say, if I only, I should have, what if, I could have, why didn't I? That's called gnashing of teeth. Trust me, I know. I have nubs for teeth from all of my gnashing. Don't wait. Don't waste any more time. Get up and just do it. Do the gift that has been given you. Dig deep and put that core value of yours, your gift, to work. And that's my opinion for this week. So I'm done. And Joel, how much time I got, buddy? 5 seconds. I'll see you on the other side of the break. And when we come back, we'll have License to Carry.
sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Bald Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company. For friendly service and quality work, stop it at 408 West Bank. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Bald Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bank.
This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035.
Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
When calamity strikes, will you be ready? Centex Tactical Gear in Temple has your military surplus equipment, gun accessories, duty gear, first aid supplies, bug out bags, and so much more. Call Centex Tactical Gear at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Centex Tactical has both new and used clothing and equipment to fit your camping, hunting, or prepping needs. Call Centex Tactical in Temple at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunShop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capellino Dodd Krebs.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's August 26, 2017, and we are now in our License to Carry attorney segment. And to my left here, I have Super Attorney Rick Dodd. Rick, as always, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here. I went out last night, and it was windy. As windy as my ex-mother-in-law. But today, it's a lot better, so I'm looking for a great turnout for our Steelworkers Picnic over in Rockdale at 11:30, about an hour from now. I know Boyd Taylor's over there basting the barbecue right now, so
I'm assuming it's under shelter.
Well, you would hope so, but okay. You know Boyd.
Okay. Well, Rick, we got a few things we're going to be discussing this segment. And basically, legal liabilities of signing affidavits I wanted to go over, disabled persons defending themselves and how the law looks upon it, and once again, possession of a firearm by a child 17 or younger in a self-defense mode. We've gone over that one quite a bit. However, I've had a lot of people come up to me with confusion about how is it legal if it's contradictory if the child got access to it. So any one of those three, however you want to start, let's do it. I see all your notes here, and I'm sure you're totally prepared. So ladies and gentlemen, if you got any questions on this, give us a call here at 254-697-6633. And for all of you on the West Coast who are listening, toll free at 866-504-1051. That's 866-504-1051. Go ahead, Rick.
Well, there's nothing magical about making a firearm accessible to a child. It's illegal. It's illegal to have a readily dischargeable firearm that a child can get to that is unsecured. And secured means, excuse me, that which a reasonable person, you know, or the great reasonable person would figure is secure.
I haven't found that person yet, but go ahead.
But anyway, if they've said if it's in a locked container or temporarily rendered useless by having a trigger guard on it, that would be good enough. But of course, secure may also mean way up high for someone who's way down low and doesn't have access or ability to climb a ladder. Secure against those kinds of things. But there's what we call an affirmative defense. Affirmative means that we or the person who's being charged with the crime of making this firearm available to a child has the burden of proof. Now, you've heard 1,000 times that the state always has the burden to prove that you're guilty beyond a reasonable doubt.
Yes, we've heard that.
But in affirmative defense, the burden shifts to you to prove certain things, and it is an affirmative defense to this crime if the child is supervised by an older person. A person older than 18 is in hunting, sporting, or other lawful purposes. So that doesn't mean that someone who is a child, and a child in this section is 17 years or younger, can't have a gun. I mean, yeah, you can have a gun as long as you're supervised in the process of sporting. That makes sense. Now, this defense of other people or other property is also affirmative defense. In other words, if your child is at home and your castle is being broken into, or, you know, we've talked several times in the last few weeks about what it means for self-defense. It's got to be a lawful defense of people or property for that child to have that gun. And if you can prove that lawful defense, then you're off the hook.
I want to add some stuff in here in case you can utilize it for explaining. Not only have I had tons of questions from people local, but down in my instructor training class, this came up, and instructors were debating back and forth on this particular one about how using the gun for self-defense or protection of the property from somebody 17 or younger and having access to the firearm is contradictory. How does that work? Because the gun obviously was left in the open for the child to get it, or was given access somehow without supervision by an apparent adult or a guardian.
Well, I agree. It's contradictory, but it is an affirmative defense if you have one of those things. So, I mean, you know, it has the stuff about the sporting or other lawful use. It has the stuff about the child protecting people or property. It also has to do with if a child were to break into your property in violation of the law and get the gun, that's not your problem. That's not your fault.
Okay, let me give a scenario, because I know there's tons of people out there listening. They're going to ask me more questions. So I'm going to lay out the most basic scenario, and then I think I know what the answer is, but I want you to say what you're going to say. Here it is. It's 9 o'clock at night for some reason. Parents are coming home late. They should have been home an hour ago, but Harvey hit with the rain, okay, and they're stuck. And there happens to be the Glock pistol on the coffee table, and somebody's breaking in. The child, 17 or younger, in fear for his life and the property, picks up that Glock, defends the home, saves the day. Everybody's screaming, well, he may not be charged as a defense because it says it in the law book, but the gun was there all the while, unsecured, and the child had access to it. So the law is just saying we're turning our heads on that one?
Basically, that's right. It's an affirmative defense. In other words, the prosecutor can go ahead and prosecute you. You have the opportunity then to prove that this exception fit into the mold, and the jury then would have the opportunity to let you off or not.
And it's like you said last week, I believe, they're not going to prosecute you unless they've got reason to prosecute you. If they see that the child defended themselves with the handgun, that yes, it was out in the open, but because it says it here in Penal Code 4613, they're not going to prosecute you because there's nothing to prosecute because the law specifically says it's not a defense because it's written in the law, right? I just repeated myself like three times there.
I think you're right.
Okay. Well, if you think I'm right, my gosh. Mark that down in your calendars.
Well, one other thing that I missed a minute ago, that it's also an affirmative defense that this offense occurred during a time when the actor, and the actor's the parent, if you may, was engaged in an agricultural enterprise. Now, that's wide open, isn't it? So I think that was particularly for the hog hunters.
Okay. So do we have any questions? If you got any questions, give us a call, 254-697-6633. For all of you on the East Coast, it's 866-50, anywhere. Give me a call from, I know you're all listening on West Coast and East Coast and everywhere in between. It's 866-504-1051.
What's also interesting about that, Matt, is the U.S. Code has a particular Youth Handgun Safety Act. And the U.S. Code, which covers all the land, it talks about how the possession of a handgun or ammunition by a juvenile taken in defense of the juvenile or other persons against an intruder into the residence of the juvenile or residence in which the juvenile is invited guest is an affirmative defense. So it's not as wide open as our Texas law is, but they both apply. So either way.
Okay. Hopefully that answers everything.
Yeah.
Basically,
I mean,
the laws.
If you travel into another state, you're at least covered by the U.S. Code.
Basically, bottom line, and I'm not going to hold you to this. Basically, they're turning their heads the other way in that particular scenario. Otherwise, if the child gained access to it and somehow they were to prove in a court of law that he had access without supervision, the owner of the firearm would get at least a Class C misdemeanor.
At least. Typically, nobody prosecutes this case unless there's a shooting. And either the child shoots himself or another child. I've had cases like that in my career where that's happened. And, of course, everybody's real sorry about that. But the prosecutor can prosecute whoever owned the home or had the child there at the home, if you may.
Got you. Okay. Let's move on to one of our other topics here. And I think let's talk about affidavits, because in my license to carry class, you know, let's just face the facts, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of people who take the license to carry class do it because they have to, and they want to get in and out as fast as they can. Others are truly interested in knowing the laws and learning any little tricks they can in that short class that we provide, that the state mandates certain time frames and all that. And I warn my students, you better know your stuff, because when you go to apply on the state website to get your license, you're going to have to electronically sign, I believe it's 3 affidavits. And so don't take that lightly. So with that intro, Rick, why don't you explain to us what an affidavit is, penalties, how important it is, so on and so forth.
Well, I mean, that's real simple. That's perjury. And we all know perjury is illegal. So, you know, the affidavit, of course, is something where you swear to. I swear, you hold up your right hand, if you may. You don't have to hold up your right hand. But whenever you sign it or you click the button saying, I accept, you are swearing that the stuff that's in that affidavit is true and correct. And that affidavit is being used as a governmental document. And governmental documents or governmental records or court records, if you lie, fail to tell the truth, if you may, because you're supposed to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Remember that.
So help you God.
That's right.
Okay.
If you don't do those things, you are committing perjury. And, of course, the amount of perjury, if you may, or the penalties for that perjury depends on several factors. There is perjury and there's aggravated perjury. And, of course, I would think that the license to carry affidavits would be simple perjury, if you may, which would be a Class A misdemeanor, which, you know, is a Class A misdemeanor puts you in jail for a couple of years, so.
You don't want that, and you won't be able to carry a gun either. So
that's right.
Think of it that way.
Any kind of a crime against moral turpitude, and perjury would be one of them, would limit you in a lot of situations.
I failed to pull up the affidavit that actually licensed to carry. I don't suppose you have an example of that. My failure on that part.
I do not.
Okay.
But, you know a lot about it. What sort of stuff is it that you are...
Well, they're basically saying that you have read the laws, you understand the laws, you have done due diligence to take the course and read the penal code. You basically know what you're doing, and we're trusting that you listened, studied, took notes, practiced, and put to practice the what you've learned, basically.
Yeah, and of course, the big deal on license to carry is being proficient. And if you swear that you are proficient, and proficiency has to do with knowing the rules. If you swear that you are proficient and know the rules, and then turn around and cause harm and say, oh, gosh, I should have read that, then, you know, not only are you liable criminally for the harm you've caused, but you've also committed perjury.
And, Rick, you know, this goes back to last week. I don't want to keep it real short. That's why I'm so adamant on verbiage and punctuation and all that, especially on the penal code signs, 30.6 and 30.7, because it's in there for a reason. It means something, and you have to be proficient in the understanding of that so you do not do something wrong, and to take out the guesswork. And if we have these things that are solid, something I can go to as a solid as a rock, there's no debating it. That's the way it works. It helps to minimize any potential problems. That's why I'm so opposed to speculation or guesswork or opinion when it comes to the law.
Yeah, and of course, that's difficult sometimes because of all the nuances. But once you read the section and then you read the exceptions to the section and then the exceptions to the exceptions, you're going to get it.
That's crazy. Okay, what else you got on that?
Well, that's really about it. I mean, nobody really wants to be a liar or a perjurer. You know, and basically I said something about court records or governmental records, but that would also include things like if you were to lie to a police officer who was doing an investigation or a federal special investigator, that would be perjury. Or if you tamper with any kind of physical evidence, you know, you hear on the news sometimes where a policeman spots some drugs in the car and the person tries to swallow them or throw them out the window, that would be tampering with a physical evidence. Or if you tamper with a governmental document, say you go in and put a little whiteout on something in the court records that you don't like and change it, you know, and that's happened many times. That is a form of perjury. So, you know, we like to be able to depend on things, and one of the things we like to depend on is a court record, because if you don't tell the truth, bad things can happen to innocent people, or good things can happen to bad people.
That's right.
And also, you want to be able to go back in history and look at what happened, so we learn from that, of course. Also, it's illegal to file a financial statement that you know is fraudulent, because, again, what you're doing is basically lying, cheating, and stealing.
What is, I think you said it for the child gaining access as to what kind of charge it would be, like Class C, B, or A misdemeanors. On something like this, if somebody fraudulently does an affidavit, where do we start there when it comes to the law?
Generally speaking, we're looking at a Class A misdemeanor, which, you know, could put you in jail for a couple of years. Also, there's some financial penalties. Some of them are a little less stringent, Class B misdemeanors, which I think up to a year. If Ross Watson was here, he could probably tell you exactly what the penalties are, but I don't practice much criminal law. But some of them, if it's aggravated perjury, that puts you in jail, I mean, in the big house, so to speak. It's a felony.
What about the concept of, I don't remember? Yeah, I signed it. I knew it then, but at the moment I forgot about it. How does that come to apply? Because I remember back in court cases, the attorney would ask a question and the witness up there would just say, you know, I just don't remember. And how do you argue somebody who doesn't remember? How does that work?
Well, you got to remember, maybe, in this case, if you can, that the jury of 12 people are going to be judging this. And if you signed the document, the affidavit, at the time you knew what you were signing, but then you forgot it later, I think that would be a reasonable defense. It would certainly make more sense than saying, oh, I didn't read it.
And that's why I offer my license to carry class, obviously to new personnel, but people who have already got the license, I know you can get rusty. It's a perishable skill to remember all these penal codes. So whenever I do a license to carry class, everybody, I also offer at the same time a refresher course. The newbie is $60 for the class, and the refresher is $40 because I don't have to file all the paperwork for you. So we've got a class September 9th, Saturday at 2 o'clock. If you want to sign up for that class, anybody who wants to get a license the first time or anybody who wants to refresh, you can go to September 9th, go to aaronsgunshop.com. And go to the license to carry page and sign up there, or just give us a call or give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com.
And of course, you know, we talk about these penalties, these criminal penalties, Matt, and, you know, they're important, but you don't want to see your brother-in-law laying on the ground dead because you screwed up. I mean, you don't want to see something like that because you forgot or didn't think it meant such and such. I mean, these things can be some terrible consequences if you don't know what you're doing and you're not proficient.
And I always give these analogies, like if you're baking a cake. Well, you're baking a cake and you forgot that you have it in the oven and it burns, right? What do? You get the fire extinguisher out, put it out, no big deal. But on one of these issues, if you forget, we're talking serious ramifications. So baking a cake, polishing your car, waxing your car, painting a house, yeah, you got to have skill in doing it, but it's not really a life-threatening situation. When it comes to penal code and license to carry, you must, I repeat, you must be proficient, understand it, or you're just being a wannabe, and you're going to cause trouble for yourself and a lot of people around you.
That's right. Anytime you handle a firearm, you have to be careful.
Okay, now, Rick, I want to get into disabled persons. And my thoughts on this is this. Guns becoming an equalizer. If you've got a disabled person, let's say they're in good shape one day, but then because of whatever, accident or something, they're not able to do what they used to do. And let's say they look fine, but in reality, they know they can't do what they used to in defending themselves, and they have to rely upon some type of weapon to defend themselves. And my thought is this, you know, here you have a person that looks fine, but they know they can't do it, and they're using a weapon as defense. How does the law look at that for disabled persons, disabled vets, disabled individuals, people in wheelchairs, whatever it is?
Well, I mean, the law itself looks at the person who is actually holding the weapon. In other words, what is going through their mind? Do they feel threatened? Do they feel like they can retreat? Now, of course, someone in a wheelchair is going to have much more difficulty retreating than someone who can run the 100-yard dash in 10 seconds. So that person in the wheelchair has more protection under our laws, if you may, when he uses a firearm. He or she, in their mind, can be threatened. I mean, there are opportunistic criminals out there, and we know that they do take advantage of people who have certain disabilities. You know, we have laws that protect older people, we have laws that protect children, and we have laws that protect disabled people by upping the penalties for someone who may hurt them.
But that I don't mean to break in here, that doesn't really seem very appealing to me. Yeah, that's great. I'm busted up and broken, and I'm going to feel better knowing they're just going to get a higher sentencing. That doesn't do me any good at the moment that I'm getting beat up, though, to comfort me.
Well, the thing about being disabled is, and firearms, is that you have to still be proficient with your firearm if you're going to use it to protect yourself. Otherwise, it's just a piece of plastic or a piece of metal that might actually get turned and used on you. So when you're talking about the abilities and the disabilities, the person has a right under our Second Amendment to have a firearm, and they should have that right. There's been quite a bit of debate lately about what it means to be disabled mentally, and there's been some laws, in California in particular, they have made laws that have made it illegal for certain people with mental disabilities to have guns, and, you know, that really is a violation of our Second Amendment. And you got to remember that us, you know, as moral majority people, we don't get to make all the laws. That Constitution is there to protect the people who don't always agree with us. I mean, it's easy to say, you know, this mass shooting would never have happened if this person had not been mentally unstable. It's easy for us all to say, gosh, you know, anybody who does this sort of thing has got to be mentally unstable. So then we start making these laws about, well, if you have been adjudicated mentally unstable, or if you have talked to a psychiatrist about hurting yourself or somebody else, or if you have signed for Social Security under some sort of situation where you're saying, I have a mental disability, then you cannot have a gun. It's easy for us to say that, us who don't have those problems. But The reality is, the mental disability could be something as simple as falling asleep at the wheel, which wouldn't have anything to do with your ability to protect yourself while you're awake. It might have something to do with, I have a phobia against snipers up in high places. I mean, you know, it could be simple stuff like that, that these laws are too overbroad, and it denies the person who has a disability or who claims a disability or might have a disability that doesn't have anything to do with them being able to use a weapon proficiently. It denies them their Second Amendment rights. And, you know, I'm all about the Constitution.
Yes, you are. I know that.
There are more to it than the Second Amendment, of course, which does allow other people to talk about it and discuss their feelings, but it should limit the ability to make laws against people who shouldn't have those laws made against them.
Rick, I got a scenario here, and this is not an open ticket for somebody to just go ahead and do this, but it is common, I think. You know, you can't use deadly force based on verbal provocation alone. But what if you're disabled and you know you cannot respond quick enough? You think you're getting into that point, the threat is about to happen. And maybe if you were able enough, you could do step 1, 2, and 3 before you had to use deadly force. But steps 1, 2, and 3 are out of the question because of the disability. and you feel, man, it's at that point, but he's just talking up this game, but I'm getting scared. Can an individual at that point, do you think, say, I don't have the speed, I don't have the ability, I don't have any other considerations to use other than this one thing to stop the threat? In your expert opinion, how do you think that would go?
Well, again, it has to do with the concepts, the thoughts, the state of mind of the person who's being threatened. In other words, all these laws that we've been talking about over the weeks, they all stem from the person who is the shooter, what they thought, what they perceived, and how they perceived it. But, you know, again, like I said, this is no magic talisman. This is no opportunity to have something sitting there that's going to always protect you. You have to use your best thought on what to do next. And be careful if you're unable to proficiently use that weapon. Be careful to pull it out.
It's almost impossible. It probably is impossible just to come up with an answer for every situation. Obviously, it's impossible. You just have to do it. That's why, like Rick always says, you know, you got to look at all the facts and the figures, the devil's in the details, I guess. You look at all the things that are happening, and based on the jury of 12 and their opinion and emotions at that time, will determine what it's going to do. So the best thing to do is know it the best of your ability, understand the laws, understand yourself, understand your weapon, and apply it in the most diligent manner that works for that situation.
Well, you know, I love statistics, and studies have clearly revealed that people with mental illness in and of itself are not statistically more likely to be related in violence, and that people with serious mental illness are much more likely to be victims of crimes than they are to be perpetrators of crime.
All right, Rick, with that, we're out of time. I'll tell you what, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you. Ladies and gentlemen, he's awesome. If you need help, this is the man to go to. Rick, tell us how you get a hold of him.
Well, you know, we do asbestos work, and when, you know, I'm going to go to the Steelworkers Picnic here in a little while and meet some of those poor folks who were affected by that. So you can get a hold of us by looking at Asbestos Law, respectforyou.com. You can give us a call at 697-4965. Or you just come by the office on 312 South Houston. It's been there for 35 years. Same street that all the banks are on.
Fantastic. All right, ladies and gentlemen. I believe, Joel, we're taking a break now. We've got our bumper music coming in. And we're going to take a long break, and when we come back, we're going to go over topics of interest, things that are happening. And we've got our special guest, Paul Harvey, coming on towards the top of the hour. So we'll see you on the other side. That's right, everybody. We are back, August 26, 2017. We've got still lots to go on the show here, and we're getting into our topic of interest section. And I've got some things I want to share with you and talk to you about before we have our special guest, Paul Harvey, come on at about 11:54 or 5, somewhere around there. Next week is Labor Day weekend, and summer is supposedly over. Yeah, right. Hot, hot, hot. But September 8th is our next round robin, and the prize will be the SCCY, S-C-C-Y, 9mm pistol, the CPX-2. It's got a black frame and a stainless steel slide. And just so you know, later on in about 30 minutes or so, I'm going to be going over the product spotlight, and it's going to be talking about this firearm. Okay, but this particular firearm in the spotlight has got the black slide. The one that's going to be given away at the round robin will have the stainless steel upper. Now, the round robin, ladies and gentlemen, more and more people are getting excited. They come in, they want to check it out. They watch the video. They start practicing. They're in their booths and doing multiple guns, the whole works. But it's relatively simple to understand how. However, its application can be not only fun, but challenging, which is great because it gives you a great way to learn how to use your gun for self-defense. But the way it works, basically, let's say we have 15 people. We'll have three strings of five. Each string, one string at a time, will go in there and put their weapons on the booth. They'll have their magazine out and their slide locked to the rear. And in front of them will be five targets. And on those targets, we'll have five circles. They're all numbered 1 through 5. So if shooter number one's designation is number one, they will only shoot at the number one circle on every target, and they'll have 50 seconds to do it. And in the process, they're going to shoot all five guns. So they've got to be able to understand triggers and how they work, how to load the magazines, sight pictures, the whole work, grips has got to be adjusted. And it gives you a great opportunity to get some good training in, because normally the range fee is $10. The entry fee for the competition is $20. So for $20, you get to shoot all night, you get to compete in the competition, you get some excellent training, and if you win, you get a nice gun. So you need to check it out. You can go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the homepage. At the top there's a link, and you can click on that and give the details of all the rules for the competition. It's a lot of fun. September 9th is my next license to carry class. And that's $60 for the new person, and it's $40 if you're a refresher. You go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, of course, like us on Facebook, but go to the license to carry page 2, and right there you can sign up, click on it and sign up, or you can give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and we'll get you squared away. But that's September 9th, the next license to carry class. September 16th is ladies' night. The ladies' range time is free. So if you want to shoot, you can come in all night and shoot for free because there's no range fee charge. Obviously, if you want targets and ammo, that's a different story. Guys, I'm taking your money. Come on, bring your girls. Bring your girls. You know, in this day and age, I don't know anymore. Just bring whoever, okay? If you're a female, you get to shoot for free that night, all right? A lot of fun, a lot more ladies coming up too. So what we've got going on now, and I think I've got, what, about a minute to lock this thing all up here? Let me explain it to you. Because of Hurricane Harvey, I thought of Paul Harvey, and because of the way I think of things, I kind of line up with his way of thinking and speaking. And there's a video on YouTube that I'm sure some of you have heard it when it first came out. And it says, if I were the devil, and if you listen to this, he said it, I forget when he said it, but if you listen to what he says, it's all coming true. So Trey, am I pretty much on time here? Can we play it right now? So we're going to play a 3-minute and 23-second clip of Paul Harvey, If I Were the Devil.
If I were the devil. If I were the devil. If I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and 4/5 of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. Thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, Our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
And there you go, ladies and gentlemen. If I were the devil, doesn't it sound like it's happening today, doesn't it? It's kind of crazy what's going on out there. Now, I had a question for you. I was looking online, and I happened to see this, and I thought this was kind of funny, so I'm going to pass it along. I did it to my board operator, Joel, here, and he kind of chuckled, but he looked at me funny and said, do you really want to say this over the air? I go, what the heck? Why not? Does everybody know what a mime is? You know, the guys with the white faces and the white gloves, and they do all these things just miming it with no sounds. Well, if you were going to shoot a mime, would you use a silencer? Do you hear that, Joel? They're all laughing. I can hear it from here. They're all laughing. Okay. Anyway, we've got a lot going on. And once again, if you go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the Facebook page, obviously like us there, but you get to see the picture of the Sky CPX-2 pistol that I'll be reviewing probably in about 25 minutes or so, 20 minutes. And you get to see it there. And also a whole bunch of other things on the Facebook. Like us while you're on Facebook. Also go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the license to carry page, because there we'll have you be able to sign up for the license to carry class on the 9th, didn't I say it was? I think, let me check it again. But we've got a class coming up first week in September, and you can sign up for that. Refresher course is $40. The newbie is $60. And now September 1st, remember, September 1st, the prices for the license to carry on the state side have been dropped down to $40. So in reality, it's going to be, if you come through me, it's going to be $100 for a new person, $60 for the class, $40 for the state. If you're a refresher, because I won't be doing extra paperwork on you, it'll just be $40. And that's a great way. We talked to attorney Rick Dodd here just a little while ago about affidavits and how it's so important to know your penal code. So when you take the class, you got to learn a lot of penal code. You got to sign an affidavit. So for those of you who already have the license, this would be a great refresher for that. Now, look, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to be in the voice of law enforcement. And some great information there. So we'll see you on the other side. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's August 26, 2017. If you'll notice, we've been doing a little scrambling here, but we're professionals. We got it down now. Hopefully, Chief's okay. Haven't had word from him, so say a prayer for him until I find out. What we're going to do now is our product spotlight. And I mentioned it earlier in the preview to the show, and that's the Sky CPX-2 9mm auto pistol. It's this segment sponsored by ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. Arch Koontz, like I've told you, a good friend of mine, long-term friend, is the owner of ANC Firearms. You can give him a call at 254-983-4417. They got Clint, Mike, Dennis, they'd be more than happy to help you out. If you go to my website, aaronsgunshop.com, and go to the Facebook page, you'll get to see a picture of the gun we're talking about and the price tag on it, all the details. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to read a preview of this gun from gunsandammo.com. And it's a nice little piece for the price. So I'm going to read this here. You get some information because, you know, I've got my own opinions, but I like to get a diverse selection of opinions from people and then come up with an overall review of the gun. So here it is. This is from gunsandammo.com from Patrick Sweeney. And here we go. Despite the Sky, SCCY's small size, you still get 10+1 rounds of 9mm in a 15-ounce package. Okay. It's easy to get jaded in this business. Everyone has something new, quote unquote. Everything has something that hasn't been done before. And if I hear one more time the current in vogue business phrases of next level or in our DNA, I'm going to hurl. Breakfast objects, or you know, breakfast objects, incentives, something, anything, he's going to hurl. Well, I had a recent chance to actually see a case of someone being different. In this case, the Sky, pronounced Sky, and their new handguns. What we have here is the CPX-2 is a compact carry 9 with 10-shot magazine. Both versions of the slide are machined from stainless steel bar stock. The black version carries a black nitride stainless finish, and the two-tone version is a stainless steel that's been ceramic bead blasted and finished by hand. The barrel is also stainless and the machine from bar stock. The receiver, internal to the polymer frame, is 7075 T6 aluminum, the same heat treatment that mil-spec ARs get, and is also machined from billet. The receiver gets assembled into a Zytel frame with finger grooves and a recoil cushion that is integral on the back strap. It's pretty interesting, too. If you go check out Facebook page, you get to see what I'm talking about. It's got a three-dot sight system, double-action trigger. It's actually a double-action-only trigger. There's no hammer that you can actually put your thumb on, so it's a double-action-only trigger. And it's got a thumb. It's got a version that has a thumb safety as well, and that's on the CPX 1 model. So far, it sounds like just another pistol, right? Then we get to the interesting stuff. First of all, Sky makes their own magazines for the CPX 1 and the CPX 2. The magazine is a crucial element of a reliable pistol, and Sky designed, tested, tuned, and then decided to make them in their own plant. It takes a big investment in stamping and folding machinery, welding fixtures, and hand assembly in order to make magazines, plus the cost of shipping them out in heat treat and black nitrate facilities. I was pleased to hear the last part because they send them out. While it's a good thing to desire keeping your production all under one roof, it's smart business to hand off the heat treatment to someone else, someone who has the plant, furnaces, and experiences to do it right. Given the capital investment and the operating cost, I can't see how Sky folks make money on the magazines. they have to be losing a couple of bucks on each one, and they still pack a pair of them in each box. So you get two magazines with a gun. Which leads me to the next big thing. Each box has the pistol, two magazines, a trigger lock, spare base plates for the magazine in case you don't want finger groove plates, and this all has a suggested retail price of $319. If you notice the Facebook picture on my website there, it's $269, I believe, for the gun. So it's definitely cheaper. All we know, all we know about MSRP, it translates to on the street, which means you'll probably almost certainly be able to leave your gun shop after spending less than $300. So like ANC Firearms has theirs for about $269. Now, first off, a 9mm handgun that tips the scales of 15 ounces is going to have some recoil, a little bit. There's no way around it. You can't escape Newton's law no matter how good your attorney is. So the size of the grip and the recoil absorbing gaps in the rear are a good thing. Also, low profile fixed sights are going to point where they are going to point. If you have a favorite load or bullet weight, or you find your particular sky shoots most accurately with one load, you'll have to do the work to adjust the sights to that load. The front sight is held in the slide by means of a pair of posts on the sight protruding through the top of the slide, while the rear blade is dovetailed and locked in place with a set screw. If you need to adjust, loosen the screw and drift the sight. Again, there's no way around it without weight or bulk, but we all know what the purpose is, what purpose this is, and other pistols like it are made for. And in that application, 25 yards is almost far enough away to call for a forward observer. Still, that's the distance I tested at, and that's the distance I tried the gun at. I used the usual suspects in 9mm defensive ammo and found that it delivered more than acceptable accuracy. In this particular sky, Rock Island Armory 9mm ball shoots like nobody's business. Once I had punched out a pair of 2-inch grooves, I turned to the 100-yard backstop. Someone had left three falling plates, bowling pin size, standing on the rack. Three shots later, I turned around to see if anyone had watched me knock them down. And he says here, "Why is there never anybody there when you do something like that?" While full metal jacketed ammo is not the best for defense, it is economical for practice. None of the loads, full metal jacket or jacketed hollow point, exhibited any reliability problems. But these days, we take that for granted. Perhaps we shouldn't, but we do. In short, the Sky CPX-2 did not disappoint. Disassembly. Piece of cake. Unload. Lock the slide back. Use a screwdriver to pull out the retaining pin. Ease the slide forward and off. Scrub. Blow out the dust bunnies. Reverse the process to assemble. Easy enough that there is no excuse for not keeping your gun clean. So if you want a reliable, accurate, low-cost, but rugged 9mm carry pistol, all made in the USA, there's a new name you should know, and that's Sky. Now, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I remember dealing with Sky when they first came out. I'll never forget the lady calling me up, introducing me to the new pistols there, and I said, sure, send them to me. The CPX-1 had a safety on the rear that went up and down. And it just so happened that the safe position was in the up position. So when you're holding the gun in your hand and you fire it, if your thumb happens to hit the safety, it's going to push it in the upward position because of recoil. And when you go to take the next shot, sometimes your gun's on safe, it's not going to fire. So I'm going to be quite frank and honest with you. The CPX-1, I'm not into. The CPX-2, the one I just told you about, the one that's in ANC Firearms right now, very nice because it's a dumb gun. You basically load it, put it in your holster, and when you need it, you pull it out and pull the trigger. That's it. You got 10 rounds in a nice compact little pistol, and what's neat about it is that little buffer pad they have in the pistol grip itself. You don't need any special fancy add-ons. It's already built into the handgun. So the safety I was telling you about on the CPX-1 is eliminated from the CPX-2. It's very slick, nothing to catch on clothes or whatever, so it'll draw out from the holster quite nicely. It's got a little bit more trigger pull on it so that it's just like a revolver. You don't have to worry about it accidentally being shot with just the slightest little touch. You have to actually go in there and aggressively be active on it. So that's the Sky, and they spell it S-C-C-Y and say Sky Pistol. So if you go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, you'll see a picture of it there. Give ANC Firearms a call at 254-983-4417. You're probably going to get a hold of Arch or Clint, Mike or Dennis, and just tell them, hey, I want that gun. It's a great priced gun. If you're looking for something on the cheap, but you want something of good quality, this is one of those that fit the bill. Because people ask me that all the time. They say, Matt, I need a gun. I'm limited on the price. What's out there? What can you offer me? And the first question I ask is, what's your bottom dollar? What's the most amount of money you can spend on a gun? Because there's no sense for me wasting your time or you wasting my time trying to figure out all these guns. And you give me a budget of $300. Well, that eliminates about 85 to 90% of the guns that you can pick from. And then it narrows it down to what we want. So from what we want, we take out the junk and we're left with the good quality pistols. I've told you about the Sky now. I've told you about the Smith & Wesson SDV9. a couple other guns too. The Kel-Tecs, they've got some good guns. There's a whole bunch of guns in that price range that are compact for concealability, for self-defense, that I myself would carry. I just happen to carry different ones. So, but if I had to and I had to carry one, I wouldn't have a worry about any one of those guns. They all shoot well, they're well made, and they're at a good affordable price. And you can get them at ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. The number is 254-983-4417. And once again, go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, take a look at it. So we'll see you on the other side. When we come back, we'll have our special guest, Denise Sims, and we'll be talking all sorts of good, neat stuff.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas.
Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Gold Engine, formerly Cameron's Heat Company. For friendly service and quality work, stop it at 408 West Bank. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Motors. Power through the summer with Cameron's Gold Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bank.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capolino Dodd Krebs.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MISO-FIRM.
When calamity strikes, will you be ready? Centex Tactical Gear in Temple has your military surplus equipment, gun accessories, duty gear, first aid supplies, bug out bags, and so much more. Call Centex Tactical Gear at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Centex Tactical has both new and used clothing and equipment to fit your camping, hunting, or prepping needs. Call Centex Tactical in Temple at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
For sales, service, maintenance, and supplies for our motorcycles, ATV, four trackers, and more, stop by Two Wheel Customs, located on Highway 53 in Zopchickville.
Open Tuesday through Saturday.
Two Wheel Customs offers the best in repairs and maintenance on any make, model, or size of motorcycle. If you're looking to buy or sell your unit, David Trojan and his crew can take all the hassle of paperwork and displaying your motorcycle. If you're looking to buy, Two Wheel Customs always has vehicles on display for purchase. In addition, you can find a store full of varying apparel, everything from boots to helmets, along with a great inventory of accessories for your motorcycle. Give Two Wheel Customs a call at area code 254-760-2250. That's 254-760-2250. Two Wheel Customs, on Highway 53 in Zapchickville.
When calamity strikes, will you be ready? Centex Tactical Gear in Temple has your military surplus equipment, gun accessories, duty gear, first aid supplies, bug out bags, and so much more. Call Centex Tactical Gear at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Centex Tactical has both new and used clothing and equipment to fit your camping, hunting, or prepping needs. Call Centex Tactical in Temple at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Bald Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quality work stop at 408 West Bank. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog motors. Power through the summer with Cameron's Bald Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bank.
Back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's August 26, 2017. I hope you're staying dry. We've got all sorts. I'm looking out the window here. It's rain and wind, and I'm seeing traffic flying by like it doesn't even matter. So be careful out there on the roads. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is our interview section. I have a very special guest sitting next to me, Denise Sims. I've known her for quite a while. Known her mom, too, probably even longer. And done lots of work with them, and I can't tell you how happy I am with them. D&L Creations, embroidery, engraving, so on and so forth. And the first thing I want to do is say welcome, Denise. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I am doing wonderful.
Now, tell me, you got to tell me, you are a dedicated trooper. She's coming from Temple, right?
Uh-huh.
She's driving from Temple in this weather. I didn't have a way to get a hold of her to say, just stay home. And she's a dedicated trooper and came out anyway. How are the roads out there?
Very, very wet.
Is it like flooding over or is it just a heavy rain?
It was flooding by the time I got here.
Really? Whereabouts?
Probably about 10 miles that way.
Okay. So if you're driving, coming towards Cameron or going out towards Rogers, be careful. Now, Denise, I got you on here because you've got D&L Creations, which does embroidery and engraving, and I've been doing business a long time ago. Unique Creations. D&L Unique. They're unique. They're not just creations. They are unique creations, okay? And I've been dealing with your mom a long time ago, and then I got to meet you some time ago, and you've done nothing but great, fantastic things for me. So let's start off this way, and let's tell people a little bit about who you are, what you do, how you got involved with the business, how long you've been there, so on and so forth. So go ahead, and just make sure you speak in that mic, and we'll be good to go.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate that. My mom is the one that got started in the business first. She worked at All Sports Trophy since 2000. She was the embroidery person that was there at All Sports Trophy. It started it up there and had continued to work there until they decided that they were going to sell that,
that
building.
I see that, yeah.
So, and how I kind of got into the work that I do is actually through that company. So there was an opportunity to go to work there and a few years back. So I wasn't working at the time and I
remember
able to go in and just kind of pick up and...
I remember walking in the first time saying, who's this? New person. Where's Jean at? Where's Jean? oh, I didn't know she was your mother. Okay.
It was a change of personnel. And so I kind of went in. My background is not in lasering or trophies or any of that kind of stuff. The embroidery I've always left to my mom, but we've always been crafty people. So we've always kind of made things and done things on our own. Just growing up, that's how I was raised.
And it's very evident if you go to your new location. I don't want to steal your thunder, but your new location, let's give everybody an address on that.
Yes.
If you go in there, you just see all sorts of creations coming out of her brain into reality and products. So where's that at?
Well, our new location, which we just moved in June 1st, is 2219 South 57th Street in Temple, Texas. We're right on the corner of Scott Boulevard and 57th.
And that used to be the old 7-Eleven.
The old 7-Eleven. Anybody from the 80s know where the drag was? That's where I'm at.
That's right. So it's right across from the new 7-Eleven, and it's right next door to Valet Cleaners.
That's correct.
You can't miss it. It's got the pretty pink in the window and everything.
You can't miss it.
Okay. All right. So you got there, and you moved from All Sport on Avenue M, and then you went to another place.
Yeah, when she decided that she was going to sell out there, then I had the opportunity to go ahead and open up our own business. So what I did is I actually started out small. And so a friend of mine, Larry Beck, and myself, we decided that we were going to just kind of open up a little small location. And we were out on Hogan Road in 317 in Belton, and that's where we started. And it was a rough go.
And I'll tell you what, I know that location, and that is a rough go.
It was a horrible location.
Terrible location. People can't see it. They got to be going there to get there.
Yes.
And then you held on, and now you're at this location. And my gosh, I can't tell you, that's a fantastic location.
It has been such a blessing. It was a challenge. We knew we were going to need to expand. I had one CO2 laser when we first started, and then we were in the process of trying to purchase a second one. So we needed more room. And we kept looking around and couldn't find anything that was reasonable price except for in Salado.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked down there, and it just something kept telling me not to move there.
Yeah.
And actually, it was my mom, because she just lives right around the corner from our new location. And she was wanting us to look at this building. And I thought, well, I'll go ahead and give a call. And I called on Monday, and you talked about God opening up doors. It really was a true blessing, because I had a key in hand by Wednesday.
That's fantastic.
And we went from 300 square feet to 2,000 square feet.
And you're filling every bit of it. Now,
I'll
tell you what, Denise, give me a basic overview real quick, because I want to get into details of what you're about to say. But give me an overview and let the people know exactly what it is that you do.
Okay. We basically can do everything that a trophy shop does, but we took it a different spin. So we wanted to make it unique. Because there is so much that you can do with lasering and that kind of stuff. So what our main two things that we do, of course, is laser engraving and embroidery. And the cool thing about those two things is that they can just explode into so many different things. Just like the embroidery, we encourage people that they can bring in their own items. You don't have to buy from us. You can bring in one piece at a time. We do custom orders, even when it's last minute and they need a hat. I'm not going to mention any names.
Jeez. Who would that be?
The video will show who I'm pointing at.
And I'm wearing that hat right here.
So,
okay.
With the embroidery. Now, engraving, we can do a lot of different substrates or a lot of different products with engraving.
Well, let me hold you there for a second. Guys and gals, you're probably saying, well, what is Denise doing, an embroidery shop, doing on my show? There's a very good reason for it. A lot of people have seen, I have a very good friend of mine who does, he's a master engraver. Sean McVicker. If we got a call coming, give me a second on the caller. Sean McVicker, master engraver. He's the kind of guy that chisels it out, you know? And so it's no comparison in the method of work, but you do engraving, and you can engrave guns and knives and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of people like maybe serial numbers or special logos or brands. It may not be the master engraver with the hammer and chisel or whatever tools they use. You're doing the electronics. So it has a lot to do with it. And then also the embroidery, we give out shirts and hats for when people win and things like that. So it all comes into play. And above and beyond that, she has so many different things for so many different topics for so many different people. So that's why she's on, and she's got some great information. And I'll tell you what, before we slip, tell me how they can get a hold of you, phone numbers, websites, emails, whatever.
Okay. Well, right now I'm in the process of redoing our website, but you can reach out to us, of course, at our location at 2219 South 57th Street in Temple. You can give us a call at 254-421-7451. And we are open Monday through Friday right now, 9 to 6. And then we all are on Facebook right now is about where you can go out and kind of see our products that we do make. I try to post as many things out there because it's such a diverse product line. And so that's what we're working on, just trying to get all that together.
Tell you what, Denise, we got a call coming. Let's see what they got to say, and we'll get right back to this here. Okay, tell me when we're good. Caller, how you doing? Good morning. You there? Caller, you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
I hear you now. Go ahead. Who are we speaking to?
Hey, brother, this is Mark. And I just wanted to say that you've got the best sponsors ever, especially Centex Tactical Gear. I get all my stuff from those guys before I go on a job, like to Africa or Afghanistan. And they are so better priced than all the clowns out there in Killeen and Fort Hood area. But you've got all kinds of great sponsors going on, and I go to every one of them and make a purchase, and I support them. And I look forward to supporting this young lady. She's got a great thing going on, and especially with school coming up and special events, I think she's going to be great. That's going to be a knockout.
Yeah, she does awesome work. We really appreciate that call, and I appreciate you supporting the sponsors. Because it's a circle of life here. I don't stay on the air unless I get sponsors, and they don't keep sponsoring me unless they get business, obviously. And that's just the way it works. So support the sponsors and support the show. And was that all you had?
Keep up the great work, man.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your call.
Thank you.
All right. Denise, you hear that? That's pretty good.
That was very nice.
Yes. Okay. Let's. You gave us an overview of what you did here. But now you made a comment about CO2 laser, and I heard about fiber lasers. Let's tell everybody what's going on there.
Okay. A lot of times people come in, and they don't really understand what laser engraving is. And actually, I brought Matt a gift. And
oh, man, that's awesome.
What people look at as laser engraving is on the Yeti cups and the Arctic cups, the stainless steel tumblers. And what we do is engrave on those.
That is so cool, man.
So,
what's the brand of this cup?
That's actually the new Arctic that comes out. This is the line that I usually carry here in our shop is the Arctic brand. So when people think of laser engraving, this is the what they look at is the black laser engraving, but it also can laser engrave through the powder coated and stuff like that.
You know, I hate to waste time. And, you know, if I'm having to mix drink and then I'm done with it, I have to make another. Yeah. This one here, I think I can stop the process two or three times.
That's 30 ounce. So
oh, gosh. So. That's great. You'll be seeing this cup here on my YouTube channel probably on Tuesday, maybe Monday, probably Tuesday. And check it out. You get to see Denise's pretty face right here. She's doing all sorts of good stuff. And look, you see the logo, the backdrop? It matches my cup. Awesome. All right, go ahead.
So a CO2 laser is basically almost like a surface engrave. So it is a permanent engrave, but it actually is kind of like an oxidation process.
Yeah, because
so
I'm rubbing my thumb on it. It's smooth.
It is a surface engrave. Now, a fiber laser, it actually is a different type of fiber because what it actually does is it actually can engrave into the product. And so this is the fiber, the laser that we use when we're engraving our weapons and our knives. Mm-hmm. We've even engraved jewelry. We engraved shell casings.
Let me see if I can show that. Let me see if I can give an idea of the depth of it. I don't know if you can make that out.
It has a feel to it. You can actually feel the grooves and all of that. So it actually goes into the blade itself. So
you can actually feel the texture difference as compared to the cup she gave me, and it had the laser engraving, and this is the fiber engraving.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
How deep can you go?
It's something, and just to be honest, it actually is a new toy of ours. We're still trying to play around with that. So what we've been doing right now is we've been doing trust engravings with it. And so I know that.
What does that mean? Trust engraving?
The trust stamps engraving on like the lowers and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
On weapons and stuff. And then really other than that, but it actually can go pretty thick or pretty deep depending on the material that we're engraving on. And on some metals, it'll actually cut it. Mm-hmm. It's that powerful. And so it is something that we've been, you know, playing with and so we haven't really been promoting that one a whole lot. We've been using it more for...
Would this shell casing that you have here be another example of fiber engraving?
Yes, that's going to be another fiber engrave.
Now, I want to make a comment on this because I think you and I discussed this before. People can bring in their own things if they want.
Right.
So let's say somebody buys the spent casing for their cap of their hat. You ever seen those?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you could put your own little logo. You could put your own comment on it.
Right.
Or if you got rings, I'm assuming you could do rings.
Well, we're going to move in that direction. Larry Beck is the one that runs the fiber laser. Right now, he's the one that does a lot of that. Mm-hmm. We're still learning. We do have rotaries and stuff that like that that we'll be adding to it. And so he is the one that we've been kind of really playing around with and doing that all of that fun stuff. But it really can be like to commemorate, you know, like your first shot. You know, we have, you know, family members and friends that, you know, always keep their shell casings and stuff. And you know, you're putting them in a bucket. You don't
like
know
this,
where they came from.
This shell or this cartridge took down this 12 point.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or, it, you know, for kids, it could be their first buck kill or something like that.
That's a great idea. I didn't even think about that.
It really turns it into a memento instead of just a shell casing that's laying there that in a year, you're going to not remember the details of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's kind of what we're trying to go with it is just, and then also with the knife engraving, what we try to do is we try to elevate the basic gift. So if I purchased a knife and I was going to give that to you, you would be, oh, great. It's great. You know, it's a knife. But if I actually took the time and either put your name on it, your logo, you know, if I would have just gave you this cup, it would have just sat
I still would have used it.
Anyway, but you're really excited now because yes. It has your logo on it.
Extremely excited. That's awesome.
And so that's what the cool thing is that we try to do is we try to elevate and make that gift really unique for mm-hmm. that person. And so you don't, you know, it's that person that has everything, you know.
They don't have this though, do they?
Right. And so, and then, you know, you can, businesses uses it for advertisement.
Let me ask you this though. What if somebody is not creative? They're creative to the point they want to give something different, but they don't have the creativity to know what to do. How much time are you willing to spend with them? Is there a charge for designing and setup? How does that work?
Well, and what we try to do is we try to help every customer as an individual because we want a one-on-one relationship. Mm-hmm. We don't want just the, you know, regular Walmart walk in, walk out, you know.
She's not blowing smoke either, everybody, because I see her all the time doing this.
It's about building a relationship in our community mm-hmm. and, you know, supporting our local businesses. And everybody that walks in our door is a blessing. And so I want to treat them as such. So when they come in and they say, well, you know, for instance, I had a gentleman come in yesterday. He's, you know, he's wanting a certain design. And he's like, you know what? Just surprise me. You know, and I love those kind of customers sometimes because I already kind of have an idea of what he's looking for.
Uh-huh.
And then, but yet he wants me to just kind of be creative with it. And so depending on what you're wanting, if there is a certain, I tell people Google's the limit because people come in and go, what can I engrave on a cup? And I'll say, you know, if you're wanting a butterfly, Google an image, you know, clip art, that kind of stuff, and just kind of show me what you're looking
for. That opens the door wide open. Yeah.
And it does. And it does. And yes, it takes a little bit more time. It does. But that person's going to remember mm-hmm. that it wasn't just a cookie cut, you know, this is what you get on the wall, pick, choose
right.
from. You know, you can.
I know what you did for me, too. I remember I had keychains I was giving out to some people as mm-hmm. gifts, and you spliced and diced a couple different logos with the radio station and the Times on it. And then also I had coins that I was giving out for yearly memberships. You worked on these wooden coins. So you can do anything from koozies, right?
Yes. And like the engraving, our CO2 laser engraves the wood, which was kind of mm-hmm. like your keychain. So we do cutting boards. We do, we've actually done wooden planks and stuff on the ice chests, those people that make those Western-looking ice chests, those wooden
planks. Yes, yes, uh-huh.
So you can do those, and we can do glass. So we do wine glasses, we do beer mugs, we do all of the, you know, anything that has to do with glass, crystal, acrylics. You know, so that's the reason why it's just so diverse
mm-hmm.
Of what we can engrave on. So it just kind of opens up so many different markets on what we can do.
What do you think is one of your hottest items when people walk in and they go, oh, man, I didn't even think that to be a great gift. What do you think some of your hot items?
And I think what it is it's just knowing that they can personalize it, you know, but really still, I mean, even after a couple of years now, my cups are still it's still the going thing.
I'll be honest with you.
It's terrible.
When I go to eat food, if it's not presented to me in a proper manner, I'm not going to eat it. It just doesn't look right. It's not appealing to me. So when somebody comes in to your shop and they go, I never thought of that. I see you laid the food out on the table, the product on the table, and you've got a design with that creativity that you have. And I'm going back to this koozie because that one of those koozies stuck out so bright because of the color, the way the logo you had on it, the way you had the ribbons intertwining with it.
Yes.
It was like, I would never have thought of doing that. That'd be a great gift for somebody.
And what you're actually speaking of is what we call our corset koozies. And if anybody that knows me, I'm a koozie person. I mean, I've probably got 10 of them in the car, mm-hmm. 5 of them in my purse. And so koozies are a really big thing for me. And with us opening up the shop, I really wanted something unique that was different from anybody else out on the market. So what I actually did is I created that koozie. It's actually ours, our design, and it's a lace-up. Mm-hmm. Girly looking coolie, a koozie, and it's really cute.
You know what kind of koozie I got?
What do you
mean? I got a tactical vest koozie.
And so it actually has the whole full ribbon, you know, and those can be personalized per person, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. And actually, I did forget to bring that along with me to show to your YouTube video.
They'll go in person and see it. Now, if you look at the video, they got the hat. I remember Gene helped me design this a long time ago. This is the older version. And then we found that one hat recently. I can't remember what it's called, but what's the diamond?
It's diamond, like a plate? Diamond plate.
Diamond plate, black cap. Everybody loves that one. But what's special about that, you know, if anybody comes in without my authorization to get one of these hats, they cannot get it. You have to be a shoot-off competition winner to be able to wear one of these hats. But we do have other hats that are available too. So, okay. What can't be engraved?
A lot of things that can't be engraved. It just going to depend. Some plastics are not engravable, just because really when you think of engraving, there has to be a contrast. So like when you burn wood, mm-hmm. The reason why that you can engrave wood is because when it's actually going to leave a mark.
Right.
And so like on the stainless steel cups, we actually have to prep those because the CO2 laser will not engrave those just in full. Now the fiber laser will, but it doesn't leave the clean crisp lines that you see here.
I'll tell you, that's beautiful.
In such a large area. So we always use the CO2 laser for that. But there's a lot of things. Anything that's oxidized, I mean, you can do a lot of different things. And then we've done Larry, you can go out to our Facebook page and we've engraved sandwiches. I mean, hot dogs.
How the heck do you do that?
Because it really is it's just burning them. You know, I mean, it's really funny. We've engraved.
Can
chocolate.
You cook them at the same time while you're engraving?
Well, if you left it in there long enough.
Okay.
We've even engraved chocolate. So it's pretty neat.
How long does it usually take for an order to get done?
We're at 5 to 7 business days right now for both sides, engraving and our embroidery. Now, as we get closer to Christmas, October, November, December, those times do go to 2 weeks.
I was just going to ask you that because I know in the past you get special orders of mass amounts of trophies for golf competitions and things like that. Is there any specific time frames that people should be aware of besides what you just said?
No, other than just really the Christmas season, because we do a lot of custom orders in that time frame. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, and we also do the awards and trophies and plaques. And then another thing that's really cool about the medals is because we can put logos on the actual, just your basic medals that you used to get before. So you can actually put school logos on there. You can put their, mascots on there. And so it actually turns it into a step up mm-hmm. from what they used to be. And so that's something we try to do to make them unique. So
now people may think that embroidery is expensive, and I'm sure it can be depending on the designs. But on a typical hat, let me clarify the question. If somebody has multicolors, but it's a small basic design, like you're looking at my hat here, it's got a few different colors in a blue, red, white, and somebody else has something of the same amount of colors, but maybe it's a more intricate design. How is the price charged based on number of stitches?
No, and that's just a complicated way to do it. What we try to do is we just kind of break it down. And so we call it a chest logo. So like on my shirt.
Oh yeah, looks good. Yeah.
On my shirt, it's called a chest logo. It's a fairly good size one. So this one would range probably about $10. If you wanted to add like just your name on the other side, you're only looking at $6.
And that's if you bring the shirt in.
And that's if you bring the shirt
in. That's awesome. You get to select the shirt you want. She's got great selection there as well. But I mean, if you just have one special shirt and you need it done, she can do a great thing for it. I don't want to screw up here because we're getting real short on time. Denise, tell everybody once again, Facebook page, numbers to get in contact with you, address, so on and so forth.
Our address is 2219 South 57th Street, and that's in Temple, right on the corner of Scott Boulevard and 57th. Our telephone number that you can reach us at Monday through Friday, 9 to 6, is 254-421-7451. And then you can also just reach out right now on Facebook at DNL Unique Creations. We're out there, and you can see a lot of our work and samples. And so
she's got a great shop. She's a great lady. Mom's awesome too. They do great work. Go check her out. Support her. You won't be disappointed. Joel, I only got about a minute. Okay, with that minute, I want to say thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Matt.
The good Lord is saying we're taking a break, so when you go home, you're not going to be in rain, I hope. I can't thank you enough for coming out. Check her out. Now, ladies and gentlemen, next week, we're going to have another great show for you, but until that time, I'm going to tell you to keep your powder dry. Check out the website at aaronsgunshop.com. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to YouTube at Aaron's Gun Shop. September 9th is the License to Carry class. Don't forget, second Fridays of the month, the competitions. Third Friday of the month is Ladies' Night. And until next week, God bless. Keep powder dry.